Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
And our second scripture reading comes from Genesis chapter 32, 22 to 31. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Well, good morning again. I just want to make sure, everybody's awake on a cloudy day. You know, the air is a little heavy, so we're going to kick up the energy a little bit. But a man went to the doctor and told him, "You know, every night for the past month and a half, I have dreams where I have wrestling matches with donkeys." And the doctor thought about it and said, you know, gave him some pills and said, "Take these. Your dreams will go away." And the man said, "Can I start taking them tomorrow?" And the doctor said, "Why?" And he said, "Because I'm scheduled to wrestle in the championship match tonight. And I have a good chance of winning." Any former wrestlers out there? Anybody who was a wrestler in high school or no? I wasn't allowed to. My mom only let me do non-contact sports. That's why I played tennis and swam. My mom was a bit protective. But I do remember my friends who were wrestlers and how exhausted they looked after a match which was just a few minutes long. I can't imagine an all-night wrestling match would be based on the exhaustion just looking at people who wrestle for a few minutes. Well, that's what we have in the sermon this morning. We have a wrestling match between God and Jacob. But I do know, and I think a lot of you out there maybe don't know physical wrestling, but we know what it is like to wrestle with God. If we've outlived our life of faith for any amount of time, we know what it is to wrestle with the divine. We are wrestling with our doubts and our questions. We're wrestling with our hurts and our needs. We are bringing the tough questions. We are wrestling with the things that make us question who God is. If God is there, then why is this happening? And the list goes on. And these are the kind of questions, the big fancy word is existential. These existential questions, these are the things we ponder and ask and wonder when we're wrestling with the divine. Now, this is something that's a vital part of our life of faith, of a healthy faith, but sometimes we don't do it. We don't. There's lots of reasons not to, because maybe status quo, good enough is good enough, and it's all that we're kind of looking for. We don't want to rock the boat, so to speak. Something may come up and we don't feel comfortable, or that's even acceptable to ask and question God in it. But brothers and sisters, it's such an important aspect of our life of faith. And then in not doing it, we're stunting our growth and our relationship with God. So based on the story of Jacob wrestling a stranger who turns out to be none other than God himself, who he wrestles all night, this can teach us a great deal about living our lives of faith. When we wrestle with God, like Jacob, we find out a few things. First, when we wrestle with the divine, we find out, like Jacob did, who we are. Jacob found out who he is by wrestling with God. In our story this morning, Jacob is, you know, a little bit of backstory. Jacob's traveling back to his homeland. He'd been away for several decades, and now he's returning. Part of the process of returning home is that he'll meet his brother, Esau. And this is the same brother who last time he saw him tried to kill him. So I would be a little worried about going back into my home country if my brother was trying to kill me. Hopefully they're not watching. As Jacob prepares to return home, he sends his family away. He sends all of his earthly possessions away to protect them. And he actually sends things ahead to kind of buy back favor with his brother. He sends gifts to his brother to kind of pave the, you know, kind of grease the wheel a little bit to get back into his brother's good graces. He's sitting by this river, sending all the things that are important to him off. He's sitting alone by the river, and in his solitude, he encounters God. See, in Jacob's case, he knew that he had done wrong. Jacob had tricked his brother out of his brother's birthright. He had stolen his brother's blessing. Remember that story where the mother like cut his hair and he glued hair to his face so his dad thought it was his brother because his brother was very hairy. So his brother had a good reason to be angry. The birthright was the retirement. He was going to inherit everything, and Jacob stole it. Jacob was a thief. He had tricked his father-in-law also. Did you know Jacob was this bad of a person, right? No, not that he's bad, but these are some bad things. He stole the inheritance of his father. He gave his father-in-law all the weak sheep, and when they split up the sheep, he took all the strong ones, so his sheep would be, I think that's the plural, right? Sheepies. All the sheep were, last week with the pagoda thing, the plural of sheep is sheep, and the moose is moose, deer is deer, okay. So he took all the good sheep and gave his father-in-law, so his sheep started to kind of dwindle, and his got stronger and stronger. So like Jacob, we too wrestle with God, and in doing so, we realize who we really are. Jacob is sitting on the riverbed without servants, without wives, without anything, wrestling with God. He knew he had done wrong and had been wrong in his life. He was crafty but unethical. And though he had prospered, in that night he was wondering about his success, about what his life means, who is he in the midst of all these things. So in that moment he begins to wonder, am I nothing more than a sneak? And we need to do this too. Now, I'm not saying that you're all sneaks. Some of you are. No, I'm just kidding. No, no, no. You're like, what? No. But when we wrestle with God, we ponder who we are deep down. And when we do that, we wonder, is this who I want to be? Who we are and who are we and who we are? And it is who we should be in following. Is it who we should be in following God? It took Jacob long in life to get to this point. So how do we do this? How do we find out who we are? We, like Jacob, need to look and be intentional and look past all the things that we rely on, the things we assume and or make us who we are, and ask the questions about who we are and why. Jacob had gotten very far in his life relying on his trickery and relying on being that person who kind of got what they wanted, but through not great means. And so we need to ask those kind of questions. If we don't take the time to wrestle with God, we don't wonder these things. So when we wrestle with the divine, we learn not only about ourselves, but in this story this morning, we also learn a lot about God. What we forget sometimes is that wrestling, and this is a back and forth. We're in relationship with God, so it's not one-sided. God is just as much a part of the relationship as we are. It is a struggle with our voicing our concerns, our questions, and then waiting and seeing God give his response, and then we respond in turn. We learn about who God is and what kind of God God is. And like Jacob, when we wrestle with God, it's supposed to be up close, face to face, not in a detached consideration, but with deep consternation. It's like the movie, I don't know if anybody likes the Matrix movies. I love movies and I love the Matrix, but maybe you have seen it and maybe you haven't, but basic gist of this is that there's this guy, Neo, who's kind of the savior of his people. He goes to meet this person, the Oracle, but her bodyguard is this guy named Seraph. Keep going with me, it will all make sense. So you're like, what, he's talking about Seraph and Neo, but keep coming with me, don't worry. And so he goes to meet the Oracle, but his bodyguard, Seraph, fights Neo. They battle each other in kind of kung fu kind of fighting. It's that kind of movie. See, now you're interested, right? Now you're kind of a little bit more pulled in. So he fights him, and then at the end of, after they fight for a little while, Seraph looks at him and says, we don't have to keep fighting. I know who you are. You're the one. And Neo says, all you had to do was just ask me. I would have told you. And Seraph said, no, you don't know someone until you fight them. And so what he's really saying is, you don't know a relationship. You don't know if it's a strong relationship or a weak relationship. You don't know anything about it until you fight, until you have something that you need to work through together. I knew one pastor who would try in their premarital counseling to get the couple to fight so that they would see what it was like to like work things out. I don't know if that's a really good idea. I don't do that. So if anybody's looking to get married, I don't try to like have people pick fights with each other. But the idea of resolving conflict deepens relationship, right? Any relationship that we have that's worth anything in our lives is something that's been worked. We've worked through hard things together in order to get deeper. And the same thing is true with God. We may think we know God and who God is, but if we don't wrestle, we don't bring our objections, our doubts, our questions into the relationship, we don't truly know him. We assume we know, and he'll answer or respond before he, you know, or we know how it's going to respond before he even responds. We get to know ourselves and God when we wrestle with the divine. But we also, when we wrestle with the divine, we find out our purpose. Jacob faced an uncertain future. His brother Esau, like I said, was coming to meet him. And like I said before, Jacob had sent sheep and things ahead to kind of bring peace to his brother. Jacob didn't know how Esau was going to respond. He didn't know if he was going to ever see his family, his livelihood, any of his things again. Jacob really didn't want to meet his brother, but he felt he had to. Jacob, before wrestling, has no idea of his purpose anymore, because his purpose prior to this was tied to this identity that we talked about. We do this too when we wrestle and leading by the Holy Spirit in our lives, because God has plans for each of us, big plans for his kingdom, but unless we wrestle with them, they sit unexplored in many ways. If you had asked me in high school if I was going to be a pastor, I would have laughed at you. I said, no, I'm going to be a misunderstood beat poet. You know, I was reading a lot of Jack Kerouac and things. You know, that was what I thought I was going to be. You know, my poor mother was like, just be an accountant. Like, don't be a misunderstood writer. But the wrestling looks like the asking God of questions and what God wants us to do. That's what Jacob was doing in his wrestling match. He's like, I don't want to keep doing the things I was doing. I don't know who I am apart from these things. But it's not just what we want or what we see our gifts are, but it's what God sees in each of us. Because like with previous examples, we like to be in a groove. We like when we know what to expect. We can convince ourselves that this must be what God wants us to do because we're comfortable in what we're doing. And it might be, but we don't know unless we ask. We don't know unless we talk to God and say, is this what you want me to be doing with the gifts and the talents that you've given to me? And we assume we're doing the things that God wants, but it might not be unless we ask. So in wrestling and bringing it up to God, it might be lots of different things that God might have us do. You might be called to be a pastor out there, maybe. You're like, oh no, everyone starts looking down. But it might be, or it might be just making new friends or inviting new people into your circle of friendship or being part of a service project or ministering to people that aren't the first group of people that you think of when you are, you know, you think of who you're going to go talk to or minister to or care for. God has equipped us all with the talents and do the things, but we have to open ourselves up, and that's part of wrestling with the divine. When we wrestle the divine, we learn not only about our purpose, but we learn that when we do that, and this is kind of one of the words of warning in it, that something has to give. In Genesis 32:26, it says, and maybe in the scripture reading, we kind of read it quickly, it says, let me go for the day breaks. Who said those words in that scripture? Who says, let me go for the day breaks? Who in the wrestling match? Anybody remember? Who is it? God. What? Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Wouldn't you expect Jacob to say that? You're wrestling with God, and God's the one who says, let me go for the, like, let go. Let go of me. I don't want to keep wrestling you. Like, that, I was just, it's amazing. Can you imagine where, you know, God is asking him to let him go, and Jacob says, I'm so tenacious. I'm not going to let you go until you what? Bless me. So something had to give in that situation. Imagine a tug of war with both teams pulling so hard that no one's moving and saying something has to give because eventually the rope is going to break. Something's got to give means there's so much pressure and the pressure has to find a way to release. Just like a balloon that gets blown up too much, and the only thing it can do is explode. In other words, it means that a given situation can't remain the same forever and it has to change. Jacob, like we said, couldn't keep relying on the things that he had before to go forward in his life if he really wanted to follow God and rest in the promises of God. Then that is what wrestling with the divine teaches us, that something in that has to give. This is what holds us back a lot. That when we wrestle, something has to give in our circumstances. We can't keep going in the way we're going, living the way we're living when we start to do that. Jacob has decided if he's going to keep getting ahead in life by being sneaky, by tricking, he was going to have to embrace, he needed to embrace something different. He couldn't keep doing that. Something has to give if we're feeling hopeless. Jacob didn't need a blessing on his messed up life. He needed a new life. And that's what he learned in his struggle with the divine. And it may be the same for us. Maybe we don't need a brand new life that's completely different, but maybe there's something has to give. Something needs to change to kind of keep moving forward and growing as people before God. Part of the wrestling is that we're exposed and laid bare, vulnerable. The river that he sat at, Jabbok, means in Hebrew, emptying. Jacob's move was emptying of himself. In the story, he used to run away. If he had a conflict with his brother, a conflict with anything in life, he would kind of run away to live to fight another day. But he couldn't keep doing that. He needed to change and be different. The other part of warning is not that something just has to give, but when we wrestle with God and we ask these kind of questions, no matter what happens, we're changed, we're different. When we decide to wrestle with the divine, win, lose, or draw, we're not who we were before it started. This is a warning, and we see it with Jacob. Jacob emerged bruised, tired, but with a new name. Names were so important back then. The name Jacob comes from the word that means grab the ankle, but it means he's tricky. It means he did that in the womb. They were twins, and he grabbed his brother's ankle so he could, hold him back. So that's his name. It means to circumvent. It means to be tricky. But after he wrestles with the divine, his name is changed, which means Israel means like struggles, wrestles with God. Jacob was changed from deep down, and it was shown in his name. Israel, formerly Jacob, had something to remind him. He had a limp now going forward. Tommy Tenney wisely said, never trust anyone without a limp. This means never trust anyone who has it all figured out, who has all the answers. Think of the wisest person that you know. The truly wise have gained that wisdom not through pain-free, unexplored living, but by being struck by waves of pain, loss, suffering, and taking chances, failing, and flying. This is how we grow into our souls. We're changed by it. We are, and we'll come out changed by the encounter. So we have to be open and ready to be changed by it. I think after all this, we still think wrestling with the divine, bringing these things before God, might not be right in the life of faith. But I dare I say this is exactly how faith is done. The great examples of faith from the scriptures all wrestled with the divine. Wrestling with the divine is not bad or wrong. It's part of our walk. The opposite of faith is not doubt. No doubt is a healthy part of faith. The opposite of faith, the faith killer, is fear. Wrestling with God is about doubts. Not wrestling is about being afraid, is about fear. And how we see and know the wrestling with God is transformational. Jacob received a limp and a new name. He learned who he was and who God was. He learned a purpose and was changed by it all. When we wrestle with the divine, we become different people also. We emerge from the match with new insights, new paths to travel, a deeper understanding of ourselves and our need for God in our lives. And that is part of why we hesitate in doing it. But are we ready? The question we need to ask is, are we ready for change? As my pastor friend once said about this passage, and it always rings in my mind, he said, I'm tired of coming home from church and life with nothing changed. I'd rather come back from an encounter with God limping instead of leaping, just so my destiny is different. Let us lean on one another as a church community and wrestle together with the divine as we grow in faith.